feel like you're warm, you're receptive, you're ready for the revelry to kick off. So I'm going to welcome to the stage my co-host, Mr. Marty Adda. Come on out, Marty. Give him a clap. Make him feel good. Marty.
Where's
that? That is...
Imagine that with the mic on.
I'm glad the mic wasn't on. That's 3 for 3. You're a disgusting human being. No. No. No.
This is the whole stick, all that. Is this on now?
Is this on? It's on.
Yeah.
No, it's on.
Okay.
We can switch mics.
How do I do it?
All
right. Is this on?
Is this on?
I don't like it. What's that? That's too loud. How you doing?
It's the same mic.
I know. So how you doing? Thanks for coming. We were pretty worried that no one would show up, but it's good to see you. We are doing a live recording of the podcast, so all of this is now being recorded.
Captured
to be,
for
to
prosperity.
Be used in a court of law, if needs be. If needs be. And trust me, needs be. There's a lot of shit that goes down here.
It's mostly Marty.
It's mostly me. Have I done the hole bit yet? This is my weekly put the mic in the hole.
Oh, yeah.
It's a perfectly mic-shaped hole. So we do a live record. Sorry, I just had
We moved the hole specifically so you wouldn't see it.
You can move wherever you want. I'll find the damn hole. We do a live recording. Who hasn't heard the podcast?
Everyone.
I mean, me, obviously, but
great.
I have no idea what we're doing here. But if you haven't heard the podcast, what we do is we play clips of comedians. Oh, well, at the start, we just talk shit.
Mm.
A little bit.
Fulfilling that requirement.
We do.
Right now.
This is the talking show. I don't have a hole where we do it, so I think we should get one at your house. Because that is a sick bit that should be at the top of every podcast. Visual or not, you just hear me clunking it in the hole. And so we talk shit up top, and then we play clips of comedians, and we're like, that was good. And then we talk about that. But what we're doing with the live podcast is we talk shit still, and then we bring an actual comedian up and they do their bit, and we're like, that was good, to their face. So they know that it was good.
Yep.
And then we bring them over to the Johnny Carson couch, and we talk about their upcoming show, because they're all, most of them?
Two of them are doing shows, one has finished, but...
All right, so they've all done or doing shows at this comedy festival. So
all active comedians.
We have a bit of a chat. Well, you know, some would like to be more active, if you know what I mean. I'd like to be more active is what I'm saying. Okay. And then we chat and then we have a good time and then the orgy. So did you want to just run them through the rules?
There are no rules.
There are no rules. First rule of Just for Funny, there's no rules.
Yeah. No, I was distracted by your hat.
You like that hat?
Look,
like
I do, but it's... I actually thought it was what it's parodying.
Oh, you thought I just had to make America great again?
Yeah.
I wanted
and
one.
And I was upset.
I wanted one, but you have to be an American citizen to purchase one, because the purchase of one... is a donation to the campaign, and they don't want foreign investors, obviously. So I tried to get a Make America Great one for the yucks. But then I saw this one, and I thought,
yeah, but
yucks.
I feel like that's how it all started. It was
for the yucks. For the whole thing is. I still think the whole thing is for the yucks. I don't believe it. I think at the end, Lorne Michaels is going to come out and go, "How about this for a long-running sketch, eh?" Imagine, as if, all right, go back to proper voting. I still think it's a sketch.
This is a long con.
It's a long con. Lorne Michaels' greatest piece ever. He's magnum opus.
He's like the Andy Kaufman. this is a...
No way, this is real. But I enjoy the hat because both the parody and I believe in the statement.
Yeah, look, fine.
And I also believe that Donald Trump can do both these things. So, have you not heard him spit bars?
No.
Oh. Trump's got bars for days.
Bars for days. Yeah. That's upsetting.
He does.
No, but look, see, with the statement, I'm all for hip-hop, but has it particularly died? Do you feel like it's died?
I'm just old.
You're just old.
I think I hit a point where I'm like, it's not like it used to be, and then I'm just old.
No, because most of those rappers are dead.
It can't be like it used to be. It's not like when Biggie was around.
No.
Where's his new music? Oh, poor guy. I think I'm just old. Yeah.
You can't pull a Tupac and just keep releasing new albums every other week.
That would be good, though. That's the rundown.
Yep.
I put my mic in there a few more times throughout the show.
So undoubtedly.
Just watch for that.
Cool.
What was our theme? Do we have a theme?
We do.
We have themes that we touch on at this point.
It's the first one that hasn't been
touched on again.
It's the first one that hasn't been the day that it is. We had Easter, we had April Fool's Day.
We had April Fool's.
And this one's pretty open. This one's just jokes. Right?
So the theme of our comedy show tonight is jokes. That's going to be a new concept for a lot of you. Hold on to your hats. This is going to be crazy. But specifically.
So like icebreaker jokes, dad jokes, anti-jokes, standard jokes.
Not gear. Not sweet Mike in whole gear. Like just jokes. Just jokes.
Just jokes, yeah.
Just jokes. Did you have any research on this?
I did.
Matt's my research guy.
I don't know. I just sort of looked up old jokes and stuff. I was just sort of going through some fun jokes and things that I thought were... So do you have a favourite joke?
Do I have a favourite?
Yeah, do you have a favourite joke?
I do have a dad joke that I pull out at work because... It may not get a laugh because of the joke, but it gets a laugh at that I'm telling it. And it just breaks up things. It's when someone's like, oh, what do I feel like? And I'm like,
oh, you touch them.
Classic style, What do I feel like? And then see, what they mean is that what do they want to eat? But I'm taking it as what do they actually... It's classic stuff.
Classic play on words.
So that's my one at work because it either gets people laughing at me or sexual harassment lawsuits. Which I find hilarious anyway. So comedy ensues either way.
That is it's one way to get out of a job.
What do I feel like? I don't know. They don't like that. They don't like that.
Why it's classed as harassment and not arousal.
Especially to a woman who I'm just air wanking woman, just like, what are you even doing? What do you feel like? It doesn't make sense and it's rude and this is wrong at a whole bunch of them. Sorry, go on.
No, whenever you're ready.
Do you have a favourite joke?
The joke I like to tell people just to see how they respond to it. We'll see how it goes. I feel like you've all heard it before, and it's going to be particularly weird because there's a child in the audience. Yeah, he doesn't know, but it's still weird.
He's talking about Muzzy. He's talking about my mate.
Yeah.
Shh.
A pedophile and a child are walking in the woods.
Yeah, and I'm the loose cannon. Yeah. I'm the Marty's here. Shit can go anywhere. Oh, look at straight legs. Look at him. He puts mice in holes. He's weird.
Anyway, we'll start it off. Pedophile and child are walking in the woods. And the child looks up at the pedophile and says, "This place is scary." And the pedophile looks down and says, "You think it's scary? I have to leave here alone."
Oh, shit. God damn.
That's right. I told you it would be weird. Everyone is uncomfortable.
Good joke, though. Good joke.
That's my godson.
That's
my godson, guys.
Classic stuff.
That's what his future is.
He has a working with children's check card. I've seen it.
The government says it's okay.
The government says he's fine to be a Russian. I've heard you say that joke a few times, and it's normally like at a bar to a woman to like break the ice.
Just there's an icebreaker. Just you know, I've just got to see where we're at, see that we're on the same level.
We're on the laughs.
That's the one you marry.
Because, you know, we get it.
Yeah, yeah. We just...
We get each other.
Just compatible. Just super compatible.
Just walking down the street, see a kid be like... And like high five and shit. One of them's not going home. Get it? Rape and murder. Okay, so...
But we can change directions rapidly.
All right. I like it right here, personally. I like it right here. No, go on.
No, it's fine.
What's the...
No, there's few older ones. Like, unfortunately, these are visual ones, so you're just going to have to suck it up. What's this?
I'm not sure.
Anyone? Spider doing push-ups on the mirror. Yeah.
Classic stuff.
There it is.
Classic stuff.
What's this? No, sorry, what's this? What's this? It's a dead one of these. What's this? It's a herd of these. Yeah.
That's Jesus.
These are all terrible dad jokes. But that's what it's all about, guys.
These are terrible dad jokes, not in that they're... terrible dad jokes, in that if you tell them, you're a terrible dad.
Yeah.
These are jokes for terrible fathers.
I feel like dad jokes are an evolutionary deterrent. Like it's like pushing a baby bird out of the nest, you know, just to make sure that it flies. Like, if I tell enough of these, he'll move out. They're just growing over time.
So we chose that theme because we thought comedians don't do jokes. But you know they've just got a whole bunch in the chamber.
Stand-up came from vaudeville, and vaudeville was all sharing jokes. Like, every vaudeville act, except for, like, the really good ones, they all shared the same jokes. And they kind of go around, and it was what you would do. It was what's happened back in the day. You don't do that anymore. It's frowned upon, guys.
But I do have this great bit about rats, tails, and mullets.
But there's like a movement of anti-jokes, like really dumb jokes.
About your auntie?
Yeah, yeah.
That's a dad joke.
Like. Some of the ones that I enjoyed are, so why did the girl fall off the swing? She had no arms. Which isn't funny until you picture it. Which is...
Whoa, no.
When you have that image, you're just going, sick. Why did the koala fall out of the tree? He was dead. Why did the second koala fall out of the tree? He was hit by the first. Why the third koala fall out of the tree? He thought it was a game and he wanted to join in. Why did the kangaroo die? He was hit by 3 fallen koalas.
Hey.
Classic build.
I like it because it's Australiana too.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
Makes me proud.
So I don't really do one-liners. There are a lot of comedians who do one-liners.
Mm.
Except for like Twitter. I feel like Twitter's the closest I get to one-liners. You're forced to do one-liners on Twitter. But I have written a few... Like, in my time, I've written a few jokes that were sort of one-liners. I might throw those out there and see how they go.
Your godson wants none of this.
That's fine. It's not his demographic.
Really? Because these jokes are pretty low, bro. Kid's like, yeah, I've heard them.
Not really Dora material. I can't compete with Dora. Briefly, I had this as an opener. I was like, apologies if I'm a bit out of sorts. I didn't sleep well last night. You know, I slept like a baby. Woke up in the middle of the night crying because there wasn't a pair of breasts nearby. Pretty standard stuff. I feel like most people have had a version of that.
I like it.
On Google, Lord Voldemort shows up before Lord Vishnu. And that shows you the value of the teen demographic. And they say you're never fully dressed without a smile. They didn't agree at grandma's funeral.
Oh, shit.
That's the last time I take advice from a musical.
Hey.
One of my favorite things I've ever written, I never did it on stage, I just enjoy the concept, is that I stand in the superposition of being both a cat person and not a cat person. See, that died on this room. That's a Schrodinger's cat joke.
Right.
Yeah, I guess so. One solemn off. That's why I've never done it on stage, but it's one of my favorite things that I've ever written.
Do we have to open your box to work out what it is?
No, but I do feel like every joke is sort of like Schrodinger's joke when you write it. It is in a superposition of both being equally hilarious and horrible at the same time. You won't know until the audience responds.
Yeah.
Ugh. Fun. All right. We might kick it off with your first act. So please, guys, make him feel welcome. Bring him up to the stage. He's a wonderful comedian, Mr. Murphy McLaughlin.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, bring me on after the Schrodinger's cat thing. That's great. Yeah, good to be here on the Luna Park podcast. Still don't know what this is. Still not entirely sure what is happening here. That's fine. No, I know it's the Matt Harvey Reads His Failed Tweets podcast. It's good. Good to be here. To disappoint, I'm annoyed that he left. It seemed like he was having like the best third birthday party ever. That's great parents. I hope they're back. They were half the crowd, so hopefully they're back. Come back. No response. Good. You know, it's funny. You were talking about dad jokes. I bumped into my dad a few days ago, and he just started throwing like cheese and milk and yogurt at me. How dare he? Oh. My dad actually didn't tell me that. It was my coworker. My coworker told me that, and it's the greatest joke I've ever heard. I was just like, "You win," because like my coworkers know that I do comedy, and so they're always just expecting me to be on around the office. But I'm not that funny in like real life. And that it's like when I'm on the stage, I thrive, right? But when I'm just like chatting to them, like they're always like, "Tell a joke," and I'm like, "Nah," and they're like, "Oh, this guy sucks," right? And then, like, I was at a party with a few of them, and the guy that told the Hail Dairy joke, right, he was, like, chatting to the, he was trying to, like, be my wingman. He was, like, just telling girls, I was like, "Stop telling people I'm a comedian." He was like, "Hey, girls, you know Murphy is a comedian?" And he was like, "Tell them a joke, Murph." I was like, and again, like you were saying, most comics don't actually have, like, those one line, like we should, because they kill more than our material. But so I was just like, I did like a one line I usually open with, which is like, you know, I think I feel the same way. No, I can't even remember the fucking joke. Okay, it was just like, I eat a lot of fast food, and it's just because it's cheap and easy. Like, I think I feel about Big Macs and Quarter Pounders and KFC Ultimate Boxes the same way I imagine Bogans must feel about children. Hate them, but constantly having them. So that's. Which, yeah, it's usually good. That's why I open with it, right? Because it's usually pretty good. But I said this to that girl at the party. She was like, "Well, what about fast food, what?" And then, like, my coworker was like, "What the?" It was like, I went to, I have to go to a Jamaican-themed party this weekend. I'm dreading it." And she was like, "Ah!" And then they made out, so that's good. No, not true. He has a wife, so that didn't happen. Another little comic thing, stretching the truth on stage. A little bit of a rule for you. You're learning here. Anyway, no, thanks for coming along. I'm pumped to be at Luna Park, because I love this place. One of the things I love about Luna Park so much is just how dangerous it is. Like, the scenic rail, is it scenic railway or railroad? Railway, right? Like, that thing is, like, it should be called the death trap. Like, because like, I remember, can I break the illusion? You work, can I tell them you work here? Matt works here, right? And so, like, oh, shit. That was going to be the big reveal at the end of the last episode. No. Right. But I remember last time I was here, you were working there, and like me and my girlfriend at the time went on the scenic railway, and like we were screaming, but not because it was like a scary ride. We were in pain from the actual, like, it's so rickety, and we were just like, "This hurts." Like, we got off the ride and we were like, "That thing really hurt us." And you're just like, "Yeah, it does that." Plenty of health and safety issues. And like, I was going to say as well about like when you're being strapped into like the ride and stuff, and you're just putting your life in the hands of these, like, Luna Park's actually all right. You got well-groomed, very trustworthy people here. Luna Park. But like, usually, you know, if you go to just a carnival, like just any old show that pops up, like the fair, whatever, right? These carnies that are just like strapping you in for a ride that could easily kill you. You're just like, they smell like rats. Like, you know, you're just like, you look like you would murder me if I, you look like you would murder me. Like, that's, like, and but you're letting them just strap you into this ride that's throwing you around the air. Like, whereas you would never, you, in any other situation, you wouldn't trust that person. You wouldn't trust them to take a photo of you, right? You're like, "They're going to steal my camera," right? Imagine if you're at the doctor's and they, like a carny walked in. You're like, "Nah, leaving," right? But when you're being strapped into this insane machinery that's throwing you around, you're like, "Nah, yeah, I should be fine." Yeah. You just, while you're in the air, you see them just smoking, not looking at the controls. It's like, scary stuff. They should have like a thing outside most rides that's just like, you must have this level of not caring about your safety to go into the... Right, it's just like a picture of a guy blindfolded running onto a highway. Like, oh yeah, I think that's me. I'll tell you quickly about my, we were speaking of dads. I went to see my dad recently. I'm from Geelong. Shout out to Geelong. Anyway, I was in Geelong, which is where I grew up and where my parents still live. And my dad's a real dopey guy, right? Which I kind of love, because when he does stupid stuff, it just has, it gives me an excuse to be dumb. Because I'm really like, yeah, it's hereditary. Like, paternophological, right? But anyway, this is a dumb thing he does. Like, the other week, I was showing him some websites, and I was like, oh, I'll send you the links. And he's like, what's, you using Gmail? I was like, yeah, it's Gmail. He's like, why do you still have a Gmail account, Murphy? You don't live in Geelong anymore. He wasn't joking. Like, he legit thought the G in Gmail stood for Geelong. How do you even, like, I think it's because the only other person he knows with a Gmail account is my grandma. And he was like, oh, chucks out, right? It's a story that really gives you an idea as the kind of guy my dad is. A few years back, he realized there was a beehive stuck in one of the chimneys in our house. I say one of the chimneys because we've got, like, the main fireplace in our living room, which gets used during winter and that. But there's also a very old fireplace in my old bedroom, actually, which I never remember being used when I was growing up. It hadn't been used in decades, right? Until my dad decided to light a fire in this fireplace as a way of getting rid of the bees. That was his plan, to smoke them out. So we lit this fire in the fireplace, which again, I need to stress this, hadn't been used in decades. Very old house, very old fireplace, hadn't been used in so long. He lights the fire, and within minutes, the room's just full of, like, disgusting smoke, right? And he's just coughing his lungs out, and he's like, oh, Jesus. And then the bees come out into the room, so the room is just full of smoke and bees. My dad's like, oh, Jesus. And he backs out of the room and closes the door. He's like, well, that's a problem for tomorrow. My mum's driving home at that point. She's like coming back from work. She's driving. She sees all this smoke around the area. She's like, what has he done this time? Dad ends up going down the side of the house. I think he like just jimmies open the window, which I feel should have been open in the first place. I still don't understand his plan fully. But eventually, like, gradually, all the smoke and the bees make their way out of the house. Room still smells to this day because of the fireplace, right? But to his credit, he got rid of the bees. So, yeah, you know, next time you think about giving us McLaughlin's shit for not being that smart, well, just remember, we are good. We're smart. Right? So, I'm going to leave it there. Let's do this. Do I hold it? I don't know the rules. Good.
Yo.
Now what? Oh, this is weird. Imagine if, like, on Letterman, they were this close to each other, like the host and the guest. Yeah,
it'd be a beautiful moment.
Yeah.
Because you don't trust it.
Working and mine wasn't, because you know how she cuts my mic off.
He's the one that tells the pedophile jokes.
I pay her extra to do that. It's not my opener.
Yeah, good. Nice. So I did a show called I Ran Here from the train station. I worked up a bit of a sweat, but you know, I'm pretty happy with it. No, I just finished. Yeah, I can't really plug my show because I finished it on Saturday, but I did a show. If any of you have time machines, sell them. You'd get a lot of money. I did a show with Blake Freeman. Real fun show, real cruisy show. Just did a show which was like a split bill, so me and Blake did like 25 minutes each, and super fun. A place called Belleville. I can plug the place. There's still comedy shows happening there. Belleville in the city. Write this down. If not for the comedy, just the chicken. Great. Seriously, when I was flying for the show, I was like, yeah, it's a place called Belleville. And they're like, oh, the chicken place? Oh, I'm going to go there tonight. And so it's like, I got people there just because of the meals.
Because of the meals.
But you've reminded me of the chicken.
yeah, exactly.
It is the hardest venue to find, though.
Nah. I know harder to find a venue. Just because you're in a place with a big clown at the front.
It's like, you can't. This place is a very easy to find venue.
Look, I run all of my locations by how easy this place is to find. And that place, very hard to find.
Doesn't have a big clown face at the front. I don't know what sort of... yeah, it's kind of down an alley, but, like, you can... That was weird, too, when flying. You'd be like, yeah, it's just down that alley. It's real good chicken. Just go down the alley. Down the alley. We're going to tell some jokes. It's going to be great. Not a fan of Belleville.
Not a fan of Belleville.
Well, actually, we've played it so well, she's gone to Belleville now. Oh, we want to get the chicken there. They've talked it up so much. Screw the rest of the show. But yeah, check out Belleville. Roland Hoffman, funny guy. He's doing a show there. Just, yeah, check it out. Yeah, let's just talk about people who have finished the show. This is a show you could have seen.
Missed out on a lot, guys.
You can still check out my website, though. Yeah. There we go. Yeah. It's on these business. There's more cards in my hand than there are people. There we go. We got one there, one there, one there, and thank you, Matthew. Floor cards. I have like 1 million of them, so it's fine.
Sweet.
Give or take.
Just fly them. Just throw them off the ceiling.
I should go on a ride. Yeah, and just throw them in the air when I'm on the ride.
Like sounds so safe. You were just talking about the safety of rides.
Yeah, well,
I'm going to throw solid pieces of cardboard at small children as I go in a very fast circle.
This is a great card.
Yeah.
It's not more information than anyone needs.
I know, right?
It's the amount of information.
People give me shit.
And I'm a comedian.
Yeah, yeah.
And here's my website.
No, it's got my website on. Yeah. People give me shit because, like, your phone number's not on here. Your email's not on here. I'm like, yeah, but my website's on there. And on the website, there's the option to contact. That's all you need.
Genius.
Like, yeah, thank you. I appreciate that you appreciate it. Oh, yeah.
Any dead... Oh, you've done the dead joke stuff,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it was sort of in his bit. Yeah.
I'm trying to think of
joke? Like, do you have a favourite stupid joke?
Oh, what is it? Oh, this is one of the first jokes I did. It was like, what do you call a tennis player you can eat? Entree Agassi.
Yay. Yay.
It was the first and last joke that I told. Yeah, that's the problem.
That's definitely the problem.
We're going to hate that when, like, comedians will tell a shit joke and they're like, oh, you don't get it. It's like, no, it was terrible.
You're not on my level.
Well, sometimes you'll get, like, an older comic, like, maybe in their 40s, 50s, that'll tell a joke that references something from, like, the 80s, and people won't laugh because it's not funny, like, you're too young for that.
No,
The Simpsons, we get any reference, all right? It just wasn't funny.
Take the damn reference.
I'm
still doing that
here. I once saw a comic who, he clearly had the same set he'd been doing for, like, 20 years since the mid-90s, and his bit, and which would be fine if it's not obvious, but his whole bit was just referencing 90s TV shows, and it was like, oh, at least update the
shows.
He had one that was like Shafted, you know, with Red Simons.
Oh,
it was
That is such
that was like the punchline to one of his... anyway, good on him, though. I'm sure he's...
sure he's out there doing his thing still, doing that scene.
Nah, he's dead.
Ah, good. Murphy took care of him.
he's been shafted. You don't get that reference.
Nah,
you're too young. You're too young.
Everyone young looks at my hat and goes, I don't get it. Is there a problem with hip hop?
Yeah.
You're too young. You don't remember the good old days.
I thought before, because I'm at the back of the room, I didn't have my glasses on. You didn't actually say what was written on his cap.
Fair point.
Make hip hop great again.
For everyone who's not in the room or who has bad eyes, it says make hip hop great again.
In the style of Donald Trump, make America great.
When you've got your time machines, go back and laugh at the
floor. Yeah, I'd appreciate that. That'd be great.
Yeah.
I got.
I'm so sure that even knowing the reference, if you went back and heard my stuff, then use the time machine, go back and go, that was a wasted trip of the time machine.
Could have done anything.
I went back, still not funny. Mike in the whole bit? All right, it's got something.
You really take advantage of the podcast medium with all the visual gags.
Stuff? Yeah.
People will be listening to this.
What is happening?
Yeah.
I did a bunch of them and I was tentative going into it knowing that they were all visual, but I just didn't have enough time to question people about
dad
jokes.
I'm sure there's not that many listeners anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, I said
you've got to treat them right, though. You know what I mean?
12 to 13 people. And if it counts my listens every time, there's at least 6 to 7 people.
That does. I'm annoyed I said that because me and Pete, who's on later, yeah. We used to do a podcast and we'd always like make jokes about like, oh, is there probably only 2 people listening? I'm like, I've seen the stats. There's like 200. Like, let's not tell ourselves short, okay?
Self-deprecating humor. We have stats. Yeah, we have stats. We're not going to stand here and wank about our stats on stage. No, that's not something that people want to listen to.
I like the idea you know how to access the stats, but you just don't want to, because it's like, no, if I can't see it,
it's not as bad as I think.
Yeah.
It is either a million or no one. Yeah,
that's right. Yeah. See, it's going back to the Schrodinger material.
I'm sure you have plenty of listeners, and hello to all listeners. I'm sorry I joked about you being non-existent.
About your absence. Yeah. Yeah.
About you being non-existent.
Yeah. You going to bring anyone else on? How's this work?
Yeah, actually.
Sorry to take over your show.
No, but that was exactly where I was going before okay. You stepped in there and you asked what I was doing.
We all felt the volition that it was.
Yeah, it was rolling to it.
It's now
end.
Murphy reads his failed tweets. It's my show now.
Damn it. Every time, Murphy. Okay, guys, please make him feel welcome. Our next guest, he's a wonderful comic as well. It's Mr. Pete Jones! Give it up, guys. Bring it up.
Thanks, man.
Hey, everybody. How you guys doing? Yeah, great. Hello, Melbourne. This is so weird. It feels like a roast, you know? Like, oh, you guys are all dickheads. Roasted. Guys, thanks so much for being here, people. I have a show on in the Comedy Festival. I did my show tonight, and right before I went on stage, not for nerves, not because I was sick, I threw up. Like, I just threw up before my show, which has never happened before at any point when I've been doing stand-up. I was trying to figure out, like, why I threw up, and I can't figure it out. Like, for dinner, all I had was a fried chicken burger, large fries, a Twix chocolate shake, and a big can of Mother. I can't figure it out. I can't figure it out. I don't know what to do with what happened. I don't know what it is. But yeah, so I've been doing my comedy festival show this year. It's been going pretty good. Last year when I did one of my shows, it was on at the same time as like a cricket final. And when the cricket ended, the fireworks started. And the cricket final was right next door to where the venue was. So partway through my show, I just got interrupted by... to the point where like it would stop for a moment, I'd be like, oh, I think they're... It's like, oh no, they've definitely ended, all right. So the thing about airplane food... So I don't care how this goes. pretty much. But that's pretty exciting. I've been thinking about this because I'm not a cool person. I'm not a cool guy. No, I'm not. Seriously, I insist, guys. Stop it, you're all very lovely. I'm not a cool guy. I think the coolest guy in the world is George Clooney. I think George Clooney's the coolest guy in the world, and I actually have a lot in common with George Clooney. Obviously, I'm old, I have a lush head of hair, and if I was to ever play Batman, people would definitely refer to me as the worst Batman. So I have a lot in common. I'm on the way to cool, I think. Because I've been doing this comedy festival time, right? It's comedy festival, and right as comedy festival started a couple of weeks ago, I got an email from my ex-girlfriend, my Canadian ex-girlfriend. She's Canadian. She lives in Canada. That's where they're all held. And we were together for about a year, and I haven't spoken to her in like 2 years. And she sent me an email just completely out of the blue. And she's a lovely person. I want to get that out of the way. Like, she's not crazy or anything. She sent me an email, and the subject line was just a smiley face, which, if I didn't know she was lovely, would be so sinister. I'd be like, uh-oh. And I opened it up, and all it said in it was just, hello, Peter Jones. I hear you're still being funny in Melbourne. That was it. Which, proven her wrong, but... It was just like, I just...
was just a strange email to receive. Like, obviously very lovely. She wasn't being mean or anything. She was just being very genuine and lovely. And but I hadn't thought about her or our relationship for a while. We first met. We met in Auckland in New Zealand. And I love New Zealand. If you guys, I'll tell you my favorite thing about New Zealand. You know how like every country likes to make fun of different nationalities. You know, like here in Australia, we like to make fun of the Irish. We like to make fun of New Zealanders. In New Zealand, they like to make fun of Australians. And the joke that all New Zealanders make about Australians is that all Australians are really fucking stupid. Which I love, because the joke that all Australians make about New Zealanders is that all New Zealanders fuck sheep. Which is exactly the sort of joke you'd make if you're really fucking stupid. So, well done, New Zealand, you've got us there. But I met my ex-girlfriend. I met her in Auckland, in New Zealand, and our first date, we went to the aquarium in Auckland, because I'm awesome at first dates. But we went to the aquarium, we spent the entire day there at the aquarium, and then we went out afterwards, we went and we got dinner. And at dinner, I ordered fish and chips. I don't know where I got the inspiration. I've just been looking at fish all day, and then went to dinner, I'm like, yeah, fuck fish. Let's go. And then we had dinner, and then we were walking around, and we went to a bar, and we had a drink at the bar, and then this ties back to the vomiting. I went to the bathroom, and I just suddenly just violently vomited because I'd gotten food poisoning from the dinner. I think what had happened was that the fish was like, you insensitive prick. You just spent the entire day looking at fish, and then fish got their revenge, I think. And so I just like violently just vomited it up, and then I went back out to the date, and I told her, I'm like, I'm really sorry, like I'm really, really sorry, but I've just been really sick. I think I have to go home, like I'm really sick. And she's like, well, you do look more pale than usual. Fair enough. That hurts, I think. And then we left, and she goes, well, I'll walk you back to the hotel room. And as we're walking along the street back to the hotel room, she said, you're not just saying this to get out of the date, right? And I'm like, that's horrible. And no, I was, because I wasn't. I said, I've had a great time. I've had a lovely time. We had a nice chat as we walked back to the hotel room. We got to the hotel room, and I was leaving Auckland the next day. But she was going to come to Melbourne in a little while. And I was like, oh, well, I guess this is goodbye. And we hugged, and she said, I really want to kiss you, but do you still taste like vomit? And I said, there's only one way to find out. And then we dated for a year, so... No, I guess was the answer. Oh, you guys have been fantastic. Thanks so much, guys. I feel like Murphy just moved because he was really uncomfortable being this close to you.
No, you earned that seat.
No, thank you so much.
It's all right.
Hey.
We just make out. Oh,
wow. Oh, I guess, okay. Oh, okay, all right.
Big jokes, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, hang on.
Oh, I don't know, Murphy. Okay. You asked the questions.
You've been usurped, buddy.
Pete Jones, how are you?
Yeah, great. How are you?
I am fantastic. Great. How is Comedy Festival
treating you? Comedy Festival has been really fun. I'm having a great time. Yeah. I'm doing a full run this year, so I'm doing 22 shows.
It's a big commitment too, as well.
Yes.
All of it. Give me all of it.
Give me every week. Oh, this is only the third week. Oh, good. There's more to come. Yeah.
Tell people about your show. What can we expect?
Hilarity. More hilarity. Okay. Then the ending is hilarious.
Where and when?
It is at the Greek Centre, which is on the corner of Lonsdale and Russell. It is on at 6 p.m. And it's running for the rest of the festival. And it's called Peter Jones. This show may be recorded for quality purposes. Yeah. Yeah, that is the reaction that title always gets. Just a not like just yeah. Yeah, that's clever. Well done.
You've heard that reference before. Great. Cool. So.
Are you okay? Are you just cold?
You're surrounded by people. How are you cold?
It's been a rough day. So, talk to us about.
I was going to ask.
It feels like we're on a double date now. You've got a new arm around.
It's like, yeah. Oh, no, we're also very close.
I want to. Can I ask, have the floor? Have people, because your show is called, this show may be recorded for quality purposes.
Yeah.
Have people actually thought it was being recorded when they've been in the crowd?
No one, I don't think anyone knows the title of any of the shows they're going to.
Yeah, right. Makes sense, that's why you're getting people in.
Yeah.
Halfway through, they just happen to look at the fly mate. Oh, this is what it's called. No.
That's not funny.
Okay. I was sure that that would happen. When you told me that was what your show was called, I was like, you're going to get people that are worried that it's going to be recorded. But not everyone thinks like me.
No,
apparently. No, no. Paranoid don't leave home.
Yeah, true. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It may actually. We're
going to get recorded. We're really part of the show. I don't know.
No, I feel like we've proven that that's wrong. Because we are recording. Yep. Yeah.
It's a good 12 to 13
minutes. 12 to 13 minutes. You mean in this room? No, there's not.
Yeah, you could lie to the people listening. They don't fucking know. You'd be like, guys, seriously, just the room only holds a capacity of 300, all right? Come on. Stop crowding the stage.
Yeah, but they're hearing the echo.
it's just the settings they have there, iTunes. Yeah, anyway.
Hit the bat and the whole place goes and you're like, oh, something good happened.
Except you hear the crack of our forehead as we realise that joke didn't work. Did you hear that crack? Thank you. Right. Oh no.
Bye, it's lovely to meet you.
That was the Sheffield Shield.
Yeah.
So sorry. It's like, if they make a quicker joke, I'm out.
Seeing as we opened with talking about dad jokes, do you have a favorite
shitty? My favorite dad joke is if you're driving. This is a retelling from somebody else, But it's driving in the car, and then there's just like a flock of galahs fly past the car, and you go, well, that was an intergalactic experience.
Jesus!
Wow.
Isn't that Stephen?
Actually, a mate of mine came up with this joke. Again, yeah. Not my dad, but as far as I know. But he told me this one. This is quite good. Don't you hate it when you're like in a car with a bunch of friends and you go through a tunnel, right? And everyone kind of goes silent. Yeah, I hate carpool tunnel syndrome.
Hey. Same dad.
Hang on, let me get him on the phone. That'll make his day.
Put your hands together, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. John. Thank you. Hang on. I just want to say up top, like six people left before I got on. So there's a difference in laughter when you listen to this. Those first two guys killed them. These guys suck. I'm doing a show. My show is over, but I'll tell you something funny that happened on the last night. This guy saw the show, and then like there's a bit in it where I talk about ladies, and then it's pretty funny. Ladies, I talk about it respectfully. Very respectfully. But he got drunk at the bar, and then afterwards, he comes up to me and he goes, if you want to get ladies, what you're going to do is, you're going to treat them mean and keep them clean. Yeah. Not like, do you know what the real saying is? Yeah, it's like king, right? Yeah, but he said clean. But the thing is, he actually thought that's what that saying was. So he, like, heard that wrong. And then instead of thinking, oh, that's some of the craziest shit I could ever hear in my life, he just took it on board and then he ran with it. How the hell is that dude getting around? That's his technique. It's like, you fucking bitch. Want to come back to my house? I'll run your bath and ignore your emotional needs.
me like shit, but look at me. Sparkling. I can't leave this wonderful fella. I can tell you stuff about my dad. I've got a couple of things about my dad. Does anyone here know how to use a roundabout?
Yes.
Yes. It seemed a little arrogant. Had that roundabout arrogance too. I don't know how to use a roundabout because my dad taught me how to drive, and when we got to the first roundabout, he goes, "There's no rules for the roundabout. Because nobody knows how they work." So he sent me out in the world. He goes, "If you go on right, indicate. If you go on straight or left, just do it." Then he goes, "And if the cops pull you over, tell them to come see me." How does my dad know when this takes place? But you know, like, stupid thing is, that made me feel very comfortable for years. I just thought, like, if the cops pulled me over, I'm like, "Do you realize you broke 17 laws and what you're mad about?" I'd be like, "This is probably going to be a bit embarrassing for you, officer. But do you realize I'm the son of Brian Dawe?" "And Brian Dawe, the roof plumber from Beaumont?" "That's right. Oh, terribly sorry, Chief. I just don't let us get back to the old man." When I was 11 years old, this is like similar to your fucking dad's crazy shit.
Could be brothers, maybe.
maybe, don't go around. My dad let me have like a pet redback spider when I was 11 years old, which my mum was dead against, but dad was like, "It's in a jar, Annie. As long as he doesn't go licking the air holes, he'll be fine." I can't tell you how much I wanted to lick those air holes. I was trying on maths at school anymore, just thinking about it. So I found this redback while I was out the back sucking on the old asbestos fence, which is something I like to do. Because it felt like corn crackers. I just get home from school and be out there for hours just like... And one day I look up and see this giant redback, grab it, chuck it in a jar, a couple of holes. And my plan is, in my 11-year-old mind, is like feed it, train it, and then I can get it to like crawl on my arm and sit on my shoulder. And if anyone ever messed with me, I'd just be able to like throw it in their face. And then the tabs like pull it back in a bit of web, go, "Good tab, good. Like a biological weapon. One day, there's this egg sack in the jar. So I can take it to dad, I'm like, "That egg sack in jar," he goes, "it's probably just using up the web because it's in an enclosed space. You're like a cow, banks up with the milk. It's probably just milking itself like a cow." That was my dad's science mind. He's like, "Cow, spider, pretty much the same thing." I was like, "Brian, that's obviously an egg sack." I was like, "It's just milking itself like a cow." About a week later, I come into my room, I've had a shower, I've got a towel around my waist, and I feel like this little tickle against my face, then I feel a little tickle against my stomach, then I look, and there's just all these black dots all just floating in the room. And then like my full vision comes in, and half my room is this big giant web with all these little black redbacks on it, and these webby tendrils just reaching out towards me. Everything inside me just like dropped down. My little 11-year-old balls just went like, which is something I've recently read that fighting ones have to train for years to do. You know that? I can just do that. Coming out of this story, I don't know if there's ever any like horrific shit go down, my balls will take care of myself. Anyway, I go running out of this room, go, "They've hatched, they fucking hatched!" My mum, sister, and dad run to the room, look inside. Mum just starts flipping the fuck out. My sister runs into her room, grabs a bag, starts throwing clothes in her room. "I'm not fucking living here anymore!" My dad, he's just like super calm, like strangely nonchalant. He just grabs a can of fly spray. He's like, "Everybody relax. It's just a few hundred baby redbacks." "You. As long as they don't all bite you at once, you'll be fine." Also something he doesn't know, he's just made that up. Maybe like chilies, worse the smaller you get. So he empties his can of fly spray into the room, and I'm watching him, he's having a look like, this is the best time I've ever seen dad have. Like, since the family's come along, finally something's happening. He grabs a broom, sticks it into the web, starts spinning it around like he's making a dramatic fairy floss. And he runs out the back, sets it on fire. My sister, mum, and me are in the lounge room, we just see this like, this orange glow. And hear dad go, he comes back inside, stoked. Mum's standing there just all like fucking seething. my sister's got this bag packed. I'm fucking like slapping invisible shit off. And he goes, it's probably an egg sack. Give a solid probably. And then the next night, I was just back in the room. I was like, right, I don't think it's so safe for him to be in that room so soon. That's like, he goes, relax, Annie. It's so thick with fly spray in there, nothing can survive. But there is one mystery, like where did that egg sac come from, right? So like I researched into it, the man spider, he doesn't always die. He only dies if he doesn't do enough foreplay. That's what I, yeah, that's how much foreplay is enough? 100 minutes. Let's do 100 minutes. That's not shocking to me. That's, I think that's standard. Yeah, get that out there, that's what I think. So let's do it. And what is spider foreplay? So I looked it up on YouTube. You can look it up. Spider foreplay is, he has to like, he gets on the web, this little tiny redback man, and he has to like strum the web, and he has to rub his belly. He has to do that for 100 minutes. There's this big, giant, lethal redback spider just looking disinterested and deadly at the same time, just staring at him like. And he's there like, just for like 7 to 10 minutes. So I'm watching this footage, right? And then, like, he's doing this for ages. Out of nowhere, this fucking other man spider, you haven't seen him, he hasn't done no strumming, just runs in, strums the web once, because he goes, dong, and then jumps on him and starts having sex with him. She grabs him, just like, sucks everything out of him, he's just this husk on the ground, like. She's back on the web, just like. This other man spider's just sitting there, like. Don't let that break the move, baby. I didn't know that guy. There's no reason. Anyway, that's it for me.
John Doe, ladies and gentlemen!
Take a seat. You want to sit on your phone. That makes sense. How are you, John?
Very good.
Very good. Excellent. How did the festival treat you?
Bloody Andrew Denton over here.
Yeah, fucking, I got this shit.
He gets to it. He gets right to it.
You haven't got a microphone anymore. You can't pop in.
He's loud enough.
I'm not saying you can't pop in. I'm saying
well, Andrew Denton.
Pete Jones.
No, you hang on to it.
Yeah, it was good.
It was a good run.
Yeah, and I'm doing around May 18th. I'm at the Butterfly Club for 5 nights, so you can.
Yeah, excellent. Great.
Excellent.
Is it a cabaret show?
It's yet completely not comedy, just cabaret.
Singing and
it's all singing, all dancing.
He's got 100 minutes of that redback spider dance. Excellent. No, that's good advice. I feel like some idiot's going to try that now. And watch out, you've got an email coming your way. Strongly worded.
I'm not bitten on my dick by a
redback. I don't know
nothing.
So, are you thinking about...
That's all I got.
That's fine. Have you, and I guess Murphy too, because you both have finished before this came out. Would you consider like a remount of your show? Did you feel like it was, in Fringe, or do you feel like you might bring it back?
Remount again. Is that
the
real way of saying it?
Yeah, remount. You mounted your show, you remount it later.
Does that sound right to everyone?
No, it does not. Remount. No, I guess, man. I get. No.
I want to be able to, like, swan in and out of
like,
the industry.
Like, I don't know the term, but generally, one mount does me, so I generally don't go in for seconds. So. But there probably is guys who remount. They're probably. Not me, but probably.
I would not be remounting that particular show because it's just material that I did. I think next time I do a show, I want it to be more like. Has like an idea and shit. Like,
yeah.
The show I did, which you all should have come and watch, so good, was great fun, but it was just like stand-up. Yeah. So I think if I do, next time I do a show, I want it to be like, it makes you think and shit. Because that when people...
makes you think, what happened to Murphy?
Used to be a straight-up stand-up guy.
Yeah, actually, it's just going to be stand-up. I mean, you've convinced me.
We ruined creative Murphy! Yeah!
More info, you can check out my...
But and that's what you're doing at the Butterfly Club?
Yeah,
your show again? Revolving Door?
Oh, great.
Remounting. I'll be remounting.
You're remounting.
Revolving Door.
Ah, excellent. That's going to be uncomfortable.
Well, not if you're tired.
Right. It's all about... like skipping rope. Awesome.
Yeah, so around...
I didn't think five people at once could go... Yeah.
That's why people just heard the name of your show. Just like,
Tune in to tomorrow's Jimmy Fallon. It's gonna.
Well, this looks so good on Carson. No, it's good.
It's been fun, guys.
Has been.
It has been great.
Thanks.
Yeah,
we're gonna call it.
One more dad joke. Dad joke to leave us with.
Here's a joke of my own.
That's
daddy that I...
That's dad-esque.
Daddy.
Ooh.
Yeah, here we go. Ooh, daddy's joke is coming.
Because, my dad's real name is my name, but I changed it to Brian in the...
Less confusing.
Yeah, because I didn't have to explain it, because I explained it with a joke that people don't like. Mm. So this is a joke. Let's end it on that. My dad is... I'm named word for word after my dad, right? Which is a lovely gesture.
Yeah.
Probably not worth the horror... Having to hear your parents having sex. Did you guys guess that? Got the classic wave stay away from
that
move from a lady in the back. But that's a joke I don't tell, you know?
Comedy's a lot about the jokes you don't tell.
It's like jazz.
It's like jazz.
Okay, guys, give a round of applause for all our guests, Mr. John Doyle, Pete Jones, and Matthew McLaughlin. Thank you all for coming out. Go see Pete's show.
Oh, yeah.
If you see Murphy and John Doyle around, check them out, because they are fantastic comics.
Dum 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 da dum da dum dum dum. Hey, there's a hole over here you can fit a microphone in.
Pete Jones thinks it's good gear. I'm out of here.